Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I'm excited about our show today. We've got a great guest, Monica Zanz. She's an executive business consultant and life strategist who loves to help leaders and successful entrepreneurs rise to their peak potential, tap into their greatness, and make their profound impact. Her expertise centers around communication mastery, building productive leadership teams, and designing effective business strategies. Monica relies heavily on her powerfully accurate intuitive guidance. Founder of the Next Level Academy for Strategic Business Programs and MOLO, a global movement to spread more love on the planet, Monica helps heal people so they can do their unique and necessary work in the world. Monica has her master's in spiritual psychology. She is a graduate of UCLA and is a certified master of neuro-linguistic programming. She uses her vast knowledge of corporate leadership, extensive business marketing, and leadership training and facilitation to design and deliver programs around the world. Selected as one of America's premier experts, Monica has brought her innovative technology to stages around the country, inspiring audiences with a heartfelt center approach to take massive action. In her newest offering, The Life You Love Company, she and her husband, Jan Zanz, have co-ventured with tech innovator Stephanie Liu to bring a new modern science and technology to personal development. As head of content and implementation, Monica is rapidly expanding her offerings into the global millennial infrastructure as a leader of next-gen ambitioneers. It's my pleasure to welcome Monica.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm so grateful to be here, Belinda. And that was a mouthful.
I'm telling you what, I'm usually pretty good at those bios, but I was like, she's giving me a run for my money today.
And normally I send the full bio and then I have the people just like read the first paragraph or something. So that was the most thorough read ever. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. You know what? Sometimes we suggest that, but I thought, well, this is what she sent, so we'll just give our listeners exactly what it is, so they know all about you now, right?
I mean, pretty much, except for the fact that I have three kids, a husband, and two dogs.
Well, all right. This is a good opportunity then, Monica, to just kind of, on a really more casual basis, fill us in on kind of some of those gaps, and then a little bit more about what you're doing today.
Okay, great. Well, thank you. So, you know, my life has been filled with some amazing challenges. And the reason I call a challenge amazing is because we know that in life, the more challenges we have, the more we rise back from once we've fallen, the better off we are because we've learned whatever lessons there are to navigate it. So my life has been chock full of a lot of those, a lot more than most people have in the time that I've been on the planet. And so I have had the opportunity to be married to my husband for 17 years. We met as 18-year-olds. My first day of UCLA, we were on the UCLA sailing team together. And my father is from Germany. So at an early age, I learned many languages. My mother's French, Swiss. My father's German. So I speak several languages. And one of the things that was always a passion of mine is really living at the edge, like always being at your peak potential. So I'm a runner, I'm a triathlete, and I thrive on creative exploration and innovation.
Oh, that's wonderful. And I'm sure that keeps you busy and fun and all those wonderful things.
It really does.
Okay, great. So then tell us a little bit about your business and how it's shaped your lifestyle.
Great. So part of my business started really at the very young age of about 4. My grandmother had cataracts and she had hearing aids. And when I would see her, when she'd come and visit, she would be at our house every Friday night. I would always feel like I wanted to fix it. And, you know, from a 4-year-old perspective, it's like fixing it, like take the hearing aids out so she can hear perfectly, fix her eyes so she didn't have any eye problems and didn't have to wear the glasses. And it was kind of my first exposure to people are not always perfect, and so there are things that may have to be helped or assisted with them. And so what I learned is that my quest and my hunger for helping people didn't stop at the age of four. It kept going and going and going. So by the age of about 10, I was actually, we had a family friend who lived up the street from us, and he was a reconstructive craniofacial surgeon. And I was so fascinated with the body and how it worked that I made a request, can I come and watch some of your surgeries? And at that time, hospitals were not so legally specific. And so doctors could kind of do what they wanted. They more ran the show than today. Today, it's a completely different environment. So he would take me to his surgeries, and I would really understand and learn and figure out how to be with people, how to help people, and was fascinated by that. And that shaped the first probably 18 years of my life, is pursuing being a surgeon. Like, that's what I thought my whole life was going to be. But I was also raised by entrepreneurs. I had doctors and uncle and lawyers and musicians and artists and mortgage brokers and real estate agents. And my dad was a hairdresser and did the stock market on the side. So there was like all this representation in my life of entrepreneur, self-started, self-made businesses. And by the time I got to the point where I was going to potentially enter into many years of residency and medical school and all that, the way that I understood the medical field and the pathway to get there to be is a lot of debt and a lot of doing what other people said rather than really creating what you wanted to create. And I kind of had that midlife, like, I've spent 18 years of my life studying to be this very specific surgeon that I was going to be, and now I'm not sure if this is the pathway for me. So I ended up moving to Europe, and I lived in Europe for a year to really discover, like, is this really my calling? And I actually went to medical school for a couple of months in Europe. And what I discovered was my passion for helping people was more on my terms than on the terms that I was going to have to follow in order to get to where I thought I was going. So, you know, in life, when you think you have the 18-year plan and you know exactly what you're doing, and now everything in your world is different, it has you really question, what am I supposed to do? So I took the route of going into corporate America and experiencing what corporate America had to offer as structure and knowing what to do and knowing how to be where I needed to be. And so I worked in production. And I had the great fortune of working for Pixar Animation Studios, and John Lasseter was my direct report. So John Lasseter taught me the most crucial piece of information that really shaped the continuation of my career, and that was that in order to be good at anything, you need to be excellent at understanding stories. So you have to be good at telling stories, in having stories, and in capturing what defined what a person was. And so I worked there for several years, and then I became a video editor. And I'm telling you kind of the longer version of this to say I changed my mind a whole lot of times because I wasn't sure what direction the storytelling needed to take place. And that feeling of not knowing what I was supposed to do with this desire to help people had me in a lot of different directions. Ultimately, where it landed me is I learned the expression of people's stories as a huge part of what lit my heart up. And my mission today is to spread love on the planet and to help people with their unique gifts get expressed on the world, and how to use them and how to facilitate that into either business or service work or something that lights people up. And so all of that discovery, those many years of discovering and many of those years feeling like a total failure, like I'm totally lost and don't know what I'm doing, it all combined to help me understand people and their psychology. So then I finally landed in a master's in spiritual psychology, and now I work with people combining spirituality and business development.
Wow, that's great. I think the really important lesson there is, and I think you'd probably would agree with this, is that people, I talk to a lot of people and they want to figure out the thing that it is that they want to do, and they sort of stay paralyzed until they figure that out, or until everything is perfect, or until they know exactly what it is that they're going to do to make happen. And consequently, they don't learn anything along the way, or they don't have any life skills as they're going along the way. And what I hear about you is You kind of thought you wanted to do one thing, then you discovered maybe that wasn't exactly what you wanted to do, but you were continuing to work and you were continuing to have experiences and you were continuing to move yourself forward until you were actually able to discover what that true thing was. Would you agree with that?
I would definitely agree with that. And in fact, I had a call this morning with a new client, and his big issue in his life is he's been very successful, but he's not passionate about what he's successful at. And so he keeps having this moment where he wakes up into, I know what I've decided I'm good at and what I've shown the world I'm good at, but I'm not lit up by it. And now I feel like I'm frozen and I don't know what to do. And so that's a very typical place where you just shared that I meet people at, feeling like I'm so frozen in what I can't decide or can't discover. So I don't do anything to uncover what it is. And it then creates a certain psychology. So their neurology actually gets programmed into, I can't make a move because I don't know the move to make. And it can be very debilitating and very depressing for people.
Yep.
And can then really keep them where they're at.
That's my observation as well. And so I love it that you've shared that. And all along the way, look at the learning points that you had. And, you know, so you're not, you know, you don't do video editing now. So what? It's like you learned a great deal from that individual. So we have mentors along the way a lot of times that have nothing to do with where we're going to wind up at, but they certainly have contributed to molding us and helping us be the people that we want to be.
That's right.
So great. What do you think two of your greatest skill sets are that have really helped you be successful in owning your own business?
So the first one is my intuition. And, you know, I had a pretty severe accident in 2002. In that accident, I was bedridden for 4 months. And during that 4 month period, I got really good at sitting and looking outside my window and just watching. And when you sit by yourself, your mind can do a lot of funny things to you. And so I started eventually, like about a month and a half into getting through the I'm frustrated and angry portion of the injury, I started to really let the nature heal me. And what I mean is, like, outside my window, there's trees and I see hummingbirds a lot of the time. And so I started looking at what hummingbirds meant and what, you know, the different symbols of spirit animals were. And I just really started to let my intuition guide me. And it became the focus of everything. It became almost like my passion, my obsession. I wanted to let the part of me that knew how to guide me. And then because I had spent so many months listening and kind of surrendering to it, I became very good at listening to other people. And it's kind of my superpower is that I can hear people's thoughts. And so I have this experience of tapping into this intuition, using it to guide myself and help others tap into theirs and guide themselves. And the second one is my willingness to be flexible. So I don't know if you've ever heard of the book Mindset by Carol Dweck. She's a Stanford professor of psychology. But she talks about having a fixed mindset and how that can really limit your true potential and what you do on the world. And so I think that one of my skill sets is to develop the ability to be flexible has allowed me, like you had said earlier, to constantly seek for what have I not seen, what new perspective is there for me so that I can shift and change and alter what I'm doing. And then that attracts and manifests completely new relationships, new opportunities, and helps me fulfill things with new sets of tools that I wouldn't have had if I was really persistent with the way that I knew how to do things.
That's so great. And that what a great skill sets to have. And you know, that's one of the things that our listeners like to always hear, because different people relate to others and see themselves in that. So thank you for sharing that. It's really important. So share with us then one of your most outstanding accomplishments or something that is super meaningful for you.
Well, I would say that one of my most prized accomplishments is the experience that I had of being a mom. And the reason I'm proud of it is a number of things. So first of all, as a young girl, I always had this fantasy, like the princess fantasy, like someday I'm going to live in a castle and I'm going to have my perfect family and I'm going to have everything at my heart's desire. And I always knew I wanted to be a mom.
And going back to the accident that I was telling you about, I had a near-death experience in that accident. And the only thing there was like a dialogue that I experienced during my out-of-body time where I was asked, what do you want? It was just that question, what do you want? And I guess my answer could have been anything on the planet, but my answer was to be a mom. And I was asked continually, like, what do you want? And it was like 5 times in a row, what do you want? What do you want? It was like, to be a mom, to be a mom, to be a mom. And I kept answering that. It was like time had stopped, but I was answering that question. And by the 5th time, I was getting kind of aggravated in this, wherever I was. And it's like, yes, I am sure I want to be a mom. And I didn't know why I kept being asked that same question, but I finished answering it like by the 7th time. And all of a sudden I'm back in my body. I'm in the ambulance. There's people rushing over me. And I came out of the pathway or the tunnel or the transition place that I had experienced being. And when I came back, I didn't realize then, and it took about like 7 years to get through to when I had a wake-up moment, which was that the reason I kept being asked that question was not because whether or not I wanted to have my own kids. It was whether I was willing to sign up for being a mom on the planet. And that so much of my coaching and so much of the work I do comes from this nurturing, motherly, like, connected to a person's soul journey and soul curriculum. Like, that's what I was being asked and qualified to do. So the opportunity to have my kids, I got pregnant 7 months after that accident and was told that I could never get pregnant, I would never have kids, that my life wouldn't be sustained if I got pregnant. And against the odds, I was able to. And I kind of felt like it was the little God wink, like the universe was like giving me my opportunity to be a mom. And I took it as that at face value, like I'm this mom and I get to raise my children. And I was a very intuitive and conscious parent. And my kids had some very severe things they had to go through. And so I was really intuitive and caught it very early and was able to really change probably the course of their lives. But the experience was many years after having my son, I realized that that's what I was being asked to do, is really represent that place, that safe place where people could land and be accepted to be who they were as they discovered what they're here to do.
Well, that's wonderful. And beating odds and really staying focused on what was true to your heart. It's a pretty incredible story, which takes us to sort of the second part of the story. And that is, share with us about an obstacle or challenge that you faced and exactly how you worked through that.
Yeah. So, you know, this accident, basically I was walking in a crosswalk and I got hit by a Southern California Gas Company truck. And instead of going into the windshield or through the axle, which is what the ambulance was expecting to come to, I was basically, my story about it is that something grabbed me and threw me 25 feet away from that truck. I never saw it coming. I had no idea. And the minute it hit me, I was out above the entire scene looking at it from above. Like I never felt the hit. It's like, it just never knew that it was coming. But what happened then is the shock to my system. Like, I went into instant shock. And then over the next 4 months, my body systems kept shutting down. And so I really, like I said, I had to learn to surrender to the healing process. And when, as a go-getter, as a type A personality, as an overachiever, as a, you know, born and raised of a German father who said, you know, the only way to be successful is if you're a pilot, a doctor, or a lawyer. Like, the shoes I was trying to fill up till that moment in my life was always get better, be the best.
Right.
And this accident absolutely stopped me in my tracks and basically had me sit in my bed and deal with, what if you can never do what you've known your life to be and your desire to achieve? If you can never do that again, then what is your life for now? And I sat with that question and how to be with that and what I could do and how I could serve. And because my heart intention was always to serve, to support people in understanding who they are and why they're here. And so that was the biggest challenge I had to overcome, is what profession, what way could I serve the world as a result of what really stopped me? Now, thank God I fully recovered and I'm able to do almost everything that I've ever done. But in the interim of that timeline, I really got clear that coaching people and listening to their heartfelt desires and reassuring them through the doubts and the fears and the suffering in all areas of their life. So I life coach and I business consult. But when you can take, you know, someone that's so successful in their business but miserable in their life and help spark aliveness and joy into their life again, that to me is a job well done.
Oh, that is great. Absolutely. And I'm sure that that was, you know, a lot of people share different challenging stories, but that's a pretty significant story. And I'm sure that that was difficult. And I'm so happy for you that you've come out and everything has turned out the way that it has for you. It's pretty incredible.
Thank you. Thank you.
So what does working from your happy place mean to you?
So what it means is being able to be aligned to my heart's desire, my heart's mission, which is to spread love on the planet. And in my master's of spiritual psychology, one of the things that we learned early on is a couple of things. Number one is that God or the universe or whatever you call kind of like that one consciousness, the bigger thing in the planet, the energy that guides us or what connects us all, that that's synonymous with love. And we learned this, that in order to heal, it's the application of loving to all the parts inside that allow for the healing to take place. So a lot of people have challenges, they have dramas, they have traumas, they have illnesses, they have loss in their life. And for some people, miraculously, they recognize that challenge as an opportunity. And for many people, they recognize that challenge as a crutch. And they live inside of a certain victim consciousness that has them experience that challenge as the thing that stops them from everything. And they kind of go back to that and they use it as the blame and the shame and the thing in their life that's their roadblock. And so what I feel really blessed about is my mother lost her father Christmas Eve of her 16th year. And she came out of that horrible, sad, miserable experience not leaving it with a trauma, but rather being so grateful of the time she had with her dad, who she was way closer to. She had a challenged relationship with her mom at the time, and her daddy was her world. And so I believe that because of the way she navigated that loss and that experience so positively, so beautifully, so with such purpose and intention for life, that she modeled for my sister and I this beautiful way to look at things, not as the bad baggage that they could be, but as the opportunity that they could provide. Like, who do you get to become in honor of someone's memory? Who do you get to be when you've gone through something and navigated it and now you're on the other side of it? And so that for me is my happy place, is when I can live that way every day of my life, interacting with people, as well as teaching people how to live from that happy place and from that truth inside of themselves, so that their life is not a waste or that their lessons are not for naught, but that actually it causes them to rise to their truest, highest potential and spread their love and their mission on the planet.
Great. Those are certainly important things, for sure. So in closing then, what advice would you give to others who want to be entrepreneurs?
So is it one thing or can I give a couple of pieces of advice?
Oh, you can give a couple pieces of advice. And then we're going to, of course, end with some exciting things you're doing and tell us how you can connect with you. But yes, take the time you want to give whatever advice you would like for people that want to be entrepreneurs.
Okay, great. So the first thing is that I don't know if you've ever heard of Michael Gerber's book, The E-Myth, and he talks about three different roles that there are. There's the technician, the manager, and the entrepreneur, and that we all have all three capabilities in us. The technician is the person that does the actual work and the day-to-day grind and the hustle, and the manager is the person that kind of is the accountability buddy and the taskmaster and the objectives and the scheduler and kind of helps to facilitate things getting done. And then the entrepreneur is the dreamer, the visualizer, as well as the reassurance that the idea and the way that we're going to go after those ideas is sound and capable and constantly looks for ways to innovate so they can get to a greater audience, to serve better, do more. So a lot of times I think that people have a perspective about being an entrepreneur that stops them because they don't feel, like we spoke earlier, they don't feel like they have all the tools, all the knowledge, all the skills, all the capability to call themselves an entrepreneur. And what I would say is you were born with a very unique, beautiful light inside of you. There's something that you are here to do. And you're probably doing it every day, but because it's so ingrained in you, you take it for granted and you don't realize that it's the most powerful and profound part of you. And so what I encourage people to do is recognize that's the entrepreneurial spirit. That's the light in you that is encouraging you to share whatever that is that comes so easy to you that you just know as part of your way of being, to share it unabashedly with everyone and everything. Because it can turn into the very thing that you use, the tool, the job, the career, the direction that you use to actually create the impact. You are uniquely and only the one of a kind that can make the impact you're here to make. So it's listening within or receiving the feedback that the universe has given you. So let's say, like people say, thank you so much, you're so good at listening. Or thank you so much, you're so good at fixing things. Or thank you so much, you're so innovative. If someone gives you that feedback, it's more than 1, 2, 5, 10 people, you probably want to look at that as one of your superpowers. And you want to ask yourself, how am I using this in the world to help people or to help life get simpler or to help something do something different than how it was originally doing it? And then alongside with that is the idea of the universe is also going to test you to make sure that your resolve around this special superpower or this skill or this light, it's going to test you to say, are you sure you're willing to take this on? Because we've given you this skill and we'd like you to use it. And we're going to keep challenging you until you're using it to its fullest, greatest, most beautiful capacity. But sometimes what the universe is reflecting to you in the form of opinions and feedback and thoughts and beliefs of other people isn't always the belief that you should listen to. Sometimes you receive it to test you and your resolve. So if you can become very good at discerning what you're asking for help with, why you're asking for that help, and when you get the feedback, does it resonate in an intuitive part of yourself or in a knowing part of yourself connected to that part of you that comes so easy that you just know the answers to things about? And if you do, to recognize, to trust yourself. And if you can do those three things, to listen to the universe and listen to the feedback and recognize it's a test to trust yourself, to recognize you are an entrepreneur and always were, and that you have a unique skill and gift to give away, you will thrive, you will find your purpose and passion, and it can change to different expressions of it. It could be different ways that you would serve that on the planet, but if you know that in your heart, your entrepreneurial journey will be joyful and a great adventure. At least that's been my experience so far.
Well, that's wonderful. And that was great advice. It's been great having you. You've given so many wonderful tips and inspiration and really just kind of opened up to people with a lot of really great information. So I appreciate that so much. So what are some new and exciting things then, Monica, that you're working on and you think our listeners would benefit from? And then, of course, tell people how they can reach you.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. And it's been such a pleasure, Belinda, to be on this and, you know, your positivity and your reassurance. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. It's my pleasure having you as a guest.
Awesome. So I am actually launching before the end of the year two programs. One of the programs is a 4-week program that taps into the concept of awareness, living your life and working from neutrality, recognizing that there are things that sometimes inform us, negative experiences, negative perspectives in our life that inform our choices and our life view and impact what we do, our choices, how we impact others. So it's called Good at Life. And it's launching on September 28th. And it's a beta program. So it's being offered at a very special rate. It's only $50 for this one-time offering because it's the launch of this whole entire website platform. So you go to lifeyoulove.co, lifeyoulove.co. You click on any of the yellow buttons that say Good at Life. And then the code that you enter is love50. love 50, and then you get that $50 price for that course. So that's going to be happening. It'll be a 4-week course. And then the second thing is my husband and I did our master's in spiritual psychology. I finished mine 10 years ago and he just graduated last year. And our dream, like a vision that I had long ago when we first met, was that he and I would be speaking on stages, leading workshops, and helping people build powerful relationships with all of their relationships. So not just couple relationships or marriage relationships or partner relationships, also business relationships, their relationship to how they look at themselves in the world as an entrepreneur or a business person or a friend or a companion. So that relationship program is going to be launching toward the end of the year. And how you can find out when the launch is or get on the waiting list for it to start is by going to MonicaZanz.com. That's my name, spelled with a K, MonicaZanz.com.
So that's MonicaZanz.
That's correct. Yep.
Great. Well, Monica, thank you so much for sharing with everyone today and being on the program, taking the time out of your busy schedule, and congratulations on all of your many successes.
Thank you very much, Belinda. It was a pleasure, and I look forward to many happy places ahead.
Wonderful.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.